thank you. I'm glad that you have joined us today. And if you'd like to remind a neighbor, a friend, family member, colleague, this might be the appropriate time to do it for our Faith, Family, and Freedom program. My, we have built into the program so many different features. I think you're going to enjoy hopefully all of them, but I believe that you'll like at least a few of them. Today, we're going to start off on a well-known pastor that was pastor and then pastor emeritus at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, the late W.A. Criswell. What an influence he was to all across the country, and highly respected man, a man that of great integrity, a good speaker, and he was in so many capacities, it'd be almost impossible to enumerate. But I wanted to take a little excerpt today and just enjoy a little segment from the late Dr. W.A. Criswell, Dallas, Texas. Let's join him now.
And we welcome the uncounted throngs of you who share this hour with us. This is the pastor bringing the message entitled, The Hem of His Garment. In our preaching through the book of Mark, we are in chapter 5 and we come toward the close of the chapter. Beginning at verse 25, Mark 5, 25. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch, but the hem of his garment, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about and said, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, the only time in his recorded Bible here that he uses that word, daughter, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. One of the most beautiful miracles in the Bible. He was thronged in Capernaum. He was there because he had been invited by the people of Decapolis and Gadara and Gerasa to leave their country on account of the pigs and the hogs and the swine that they'd lost. They'd rather have the pigs than to have Jesus. So they invited him to leave. And Jesus comes to the other side of the sea and back to Capernaum. The Bible is very emphatic here. Much people. And then again in verse 24, much people thronged him. As he was on his way to the house of Jairus, a leader of the Jews, whose 12-year-old daughter was sick and later died, as he made his way to the home of Jairus, he was pressed and thronged on every side. There were two kinds of people around him. One, there were those who, out of loving gratitude for what he'd done for them, were there to see him and welcome him. These are the demoniacs. Here are the paralytics. Here are those who are sick in bed. These are they that he had raised up to health and life. And they were there in loving gratitude, pressing the Lord on every side. Then again, there were those who came out of trembling hope. These who were sick and had inward and secret pain. They came because the Lord was close by. Don't you see that? You walk through a town or drive through a town, and everything seems so well and strong. What you don't see are all of those hidden heartaches. They're everywhere. The sick, the aged, the discouraged, the depressed. You go all through the town and it looks so well and strong. Actually, there is uncounted agonies and heartaches and hurts, and you don't see them. But wherever Jesus appeared, suffering came to the surface. And these that had lost hope and in despondency and despair found in him a promise and a life. So when he came, any place, he was thronged on every side. Have you ever been in Broadway, New York City? Those thousands of lights, and everything seems so brilliant, full of entertainment. Yet they say there's a broken heart for every light that you see. That is life. You've heard me say in this pulpit that pain, heartache brings us to God. And I've also said, if there were no suffering and no hurt in the world would forget God altogether. So back there in Capernaum, he is thronged on every side by a great press of people. And among them was this poor woman with an issue of blood 12 years. I cannot imagine that. I can't think of it. What's her name? Nobody knows. What is her status in life? Nothing is said. She just belongs to that vast throng of unnamed, unknown people. God looks down upon us. And he himself can see that heartache and suffering and disappointment and trouble and trial are no respecter of persons everywhere. And this poor, pallid, wasting creature with that secret disease is one of them.
Is customary on most of our programs, at some time we have a great song. It may be a quartet, trio, it can be of various varieties. But today we're going to share a particular selection from the hymn sing that Gerald Wolfe orchestrates, so to speak. It's a great song. It's in our hymnals. And you know, I'm fond of many of those songs because I don't like them necessarily because the songs are old. They're old because they're good. And they have wonderful theology in them. And this particular one, although short in title, the significance of the meaning of the song is just overwhelming. It resonates everywhere. The song simply says, Jesus saves.
So this is a great old song, Jesus Saves, Dan.
We have heard.
News to every man, like the sleeves
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. And one of our goals is that we speak forthrightly about faith, family, and freedom. Those three words encompass what I think are so important. Will Durant said the family is the nucleus of civilization. I'm all about the family. I'm about our faith, and I'm about our freedoms. You know, once freedoms are removed, they can't be replaced. The late John Kennedy said, our freedom didn't come from the generosity of the state, that came from the hand of God. I believe it was Harry Truman who said that our rights came from the Bible. They were principled on Mount Sinai. He said they were not given to us by the state. And if we ever forget that, we will become a totalitarian state with no rights except for the state. Abraham Lincoln, I think, was one of our greatest presidents. He's rated in the top three by most historians. And Abraham Lincoln made this point. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reaches us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide. What a poignant statement that is so relevant, that is so circumspectual to are living today, as we see the attack upon our culture. Culture consists of the arts, the literature, the music of a people. And when we depart and we declare that the abnormal is normal, that the abhorrent is acceptable, and what God calls reprobate, we call it an alternative lifestyle, we're already in serious deep water as a country. I hope that we can get back on track. I believe that it's up to me and you by looking to the Lord as the author and finisher of our faith, that if we're going to restore our fundamental principles that made this country great. I have a person today that I want to hear him preach. He talks and tells it, I believe, pretty accurately. And then just after his interview, I did an interview with Tim Throckmorton out of Ohio, who is now part of the Family Research Council headed up by Tony Perkins. Let's enjoy these little segues.
Why is every other religion accepted except Christianity? Let me tell you why. Every other religion is very broad. Christianity is very narrow. Teach Dr. Phil. You see, there's a pluralistic approach that why can't we all get along because all roads lead to heaven? That's not true. Jesus makes it too specific. And that's why you can wear a shirt with Islam, with all kind of religion, and it's tolerated at your workplace. The minute you try to wear the cross or you bring Jesus in there, they say, don't bring that Jesus stuff in here because Jesus is a threat. See, churches don't preach Jesus anymore. We preach 7 steps to success. We preach 7 habits of highly successful people. We preach how to unlock the secret of heaven. But can we back to preaching Jesus? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except but through. People said that there's many ways to get to heaven because all religions are the same. No, all religions are not the same. Every religion preaches something, but Jesus preaches the only thing, which is I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man gets to the Father except but through me.
I'm here with Tim Throckmorton, who works now in Washington, D.C. with the Family Research Council that headed by Tony Perkins. I've known Brother Throckmorton probably 10 or 12 years. He originally out of Ohio, but now he's all over, everywhere. Tim, good to have you with us on today's program.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I appreciate that.
I know if we had all day, we still couldn't get through all of that you're doing, but can you give us kind of a brief overview of what your assignment and the Family Research Council, what are the goals that you're trying to do?
Well, thanks, Andrew. In 1983, Dr. James Dobson founded the Family Research Council, feeling it would be a very good idea for biblical principles and biblical worldview to be inserted into the fabric of policymaking and legislation in our nation's capital. We carry forth a vision of a culture where life is valued, where families flourish, and where religious freedom thrives. I serve as the National Director for Community Impact and shepherd the over 4,000 community impact teams in churches throughout America, bringing the resources and the research of the Family Research Council to pastors, churches, and denominational leaders.
Well, you're busy.
I
think that we have to try to educate people. We have to advocate for what we believe is necessary, and then we have to participate. I think you're doing all three of those things.
We're calling people to do just that. In our nation today, we are suffering from biblical illiteracy. George Barna's latest research says that only 6% of Americans have a true biblical worldview. We also have civic illiteracy. Not a lot of people know how government works. And there's historical illiteracy where we have forgotten our national heritage, our godly Christian heritage. And so we're bringing the resources to pastor to help them speak to the cultural issues from a biblical worldview perspective and to help encourage those who want to get involved civically and bring their biblical values into that civic arena.
How, if people that might view our programs, if they wanted to reach you, how do they do that?
Reach me. You can go to frc.org, frc.org. That is our main page. And from there, you can search the issues and you can contact us. And then they'll reach out to me if you reach out to them, or you can reach out to Andrew and you can put in touch with me as well.
I certainly will. You know, I believe it was in the book of Judges. It said there that when Joshua died, being 110 years of age, there arose another generation after him, which knew not the Lord.
That's right.
Or yet the works which he'd done for Israel. I commend you and I applaud you, brother, for continuing in the fight. And I think that would also be applicable to your goals of trying to keep what we know has worked, the foundations, right?
Yes, and there is a renewed interest around the country of people who want to get involved, who want to learn more about our nation's history. And I think there's a new generation that's rising up that is drawn to those biblical moorings. And I pray that God will have his hand upon this great nation for generations to come.
Well, you know, socialism, atheism, those are terms that go synonymously. And I think Ronald Reagan said it well, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under.
Amen. Amen.
Tim Throckmorton, may I say thanks on behalf of America for what you're doing.
Thank you so much, sir.
God bless. If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us as would be indicated there on the screen. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps. And it's amazing when we think about how that our thinking can be transformed or changed over a period of time. Many things have in our evolution of the idea, once you dislike something and you disliked it very intently and said to yourself, I would never be for that. Then later you become tolerant of it. You say, well, that's their choices. Later you say, well, I'm not going to condemn it. And then finally you approve it, and then you're willing to vote for it. Isn't it amazing how the things that we used to consider so basic, like the sanctity of life, monogamous marriages, patriotism, love of country, love of family, the nuclear family, the idea that this is a free America, the idea that we live in a land where people want to live in harmony, that we don't want to destroy our heritage and who we are. Those were basic thought patterns in my development. But again, once you dislike something and you say, well, I dislike it, then seemingly later you get tolerant. Then you get where you don't want to condemn it. Then you say, well, I guess I could approve it. And then finally, well, I can vote for that. God help us that we maintain what we know to be right. And this is Andrew Phipps. And friends, I hope that we have done something today that has been worth your while, worth your time. If we haven't achieved that, then perhaps our purpose somehow got misplaced, or somehow our priority was not in the proper place. But we're all about trying to help save this nation. I'm very committed. I know I am just one individual, but maybe I can help somebody, and that's our purpose. We don't want to be charlatans. We want to be forthright. We would like to be considered the real deal. And if your church would ever like to have us come, we would count it an honor. We have never charged a church a certain fee for coming there. We never have, never will. We travel strictly by faith. And our church is Liberty Baptist Church, 9601 South Cowan Road in Muncie, Indiana. Our son is the pastor, but I'm the one that travels, I guess, the most around the nation. I hope you enjoy our broadcast here on this station. If you ever feel that what we're doing would be worthy of your church support, we would count that an honor. But we never beg for funds. We're just not going to do that. We're just not into that. And so we want to do the thing with integrity, with purpose. We want to do it with rectitude. We want to do it right. And so Be sure that you tell your neighbors and your friends that the Faith, Family, and Freedom program is coming their way, hopefully every week right here at this station. And if you know of other stations that we might be able to get on to, that would be an honor as well. We're always trying to expand the horizons and look for new opportunities. I want to thank you for joining us here today. I'll look forward to being with you again at the very next familiar time. But until then, this is Andrew Phipps. Have a wonderful day.